Buzz Bissinger's twin sons were born 3 minutes and a world apart. Jerry, the older one, is a graduate student at Penn, preparing to become a teacher. His brother, Zach, has spent his life attending special schools. He will never drive a car or kiss a girl or live by himself. He is a savant, challenged by serious intellectual deficits, but also blessed with rare talents. He has an astonishing memory, a dazzling knack for navigation, and he can tell you the day of the week on which any date falls. One summer night, Buzz and Zach set out on a singular cross-country road trip to revisit all the places they have lived together during Zach's 24 years. Zach revels in his memories, and Buzz hopes this journey into their shared past will lead them to a better sense of togetherness and understanding. He writes about this journey in Father's Day, a journey into the mind and heart of my extraordinary son, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Buzz Bissinger back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you.
At what point did you know that you would write about Zach?
Well, you know, it always was in the back of my mind, literally since his and Jerry's birth, just because it was so traumatic. They were born in 1983. As you point out, they were 13 and a half weeks premature. Jerry weighed 1 pound and 14 ounces. Zach weighed 1 pound and 11 ounces, separated by 3 minutes that defined a lifetime for all of us. At that point in time, you didn't have the medical advances you have today, so they were the youngest male twins ever to survive and live at Pennsylvania Hospital in Philadelphia, the oldest hospital in the country. So, you know, I am a journalist, and it just was an incredible story, and Zach survived against all odds, as did Jerry. So I thought from time to time, boy, this would make a great book. But I had a wise editor who said, you know, you really should wait, because the serious questions and the more difficult questions are going to come, you know, when he's an adult, when he's fully physically formed. And I think that editor was right. The cross-country trip was not with the intent of writing a book. It was sort of serendipity that we went, but, you know, after we took it, it was clear that something profound had happened.
It seems like you need distance from something like that, an experience, if you will, before you can understand all of the facets.
Oh, I mean, I agree completely. I think that's a great point. I mean, if I had written this book right after their birth, or a year after their birth, or even 5 years after the birth of Jerry and Zach, it just wouldn't have been nearly the same. And you know, Zach was just beautiful as a child. I mean, he had his eyelashes. They were like a long wedding train. And when they're young, you know, you do hold that hope that it's kind of going to all work out and everything is going to be perfect. But when they're older, as I say, I mean, you know, issues crystallize, particularly the agonizing decision of, you know, where Zach should ultimately be, whether it's with his parents or in a group home. And I did. I needed distance, so much distance, that we took the trip in 2007, and it's now 2012. This was a very, very hard book to write, and I needed, you know, distance as I wrote it. So, you know, I wrote it for 6 months, then just had to put it away for over 2 years.
One of the things that comes out that's so interesting is that the closeness of your relationship and how close you thought that relationship was until you started doing this book.
Well, I appreciate that in the sense that, look, it is a controversial memoir in the sense is because I am honest. Some say that I'm brutally honest. Some admire the honesty and candor, and I will tell you, some hate it. Some feel that I'm just too tough, that I'm too volatile, that I'm too tough on my son. It was never with intention. I'm too tough on myself. I'm too self-flagellating. I'm too ambitious. I care too much about success, but I always loved Zach, and I was very, very close to Zach, but I felt like I didn't know him. I had never had a real conversation with him, and I think it was not because I didn't love him. I loved him to death. It was because I just didn't focus on him like many parents do with their children, whether they're normal or abnormal or disabled or whatever. And this trip, I made a vow to do that, and I think it made a tremendous difference in discovering, and I think any parent would discover this with any child, when you have the intimacy of a cross-country trip. It's a road trip. They're romantic, and I found out all sorts of things about Zach that I really never knew before.
When you set out on the journey, the goal was always to revisit all the places that you had lived together during Zach's 24 years.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I needed to structure the trip in a way that it would appeal to Zach. I know Zach's mind is all in the concrete. It's part of his savantism, where his memory is incredible and his recall of dates is incredible. But because of the brain damage, he's very right hemisphere oriented, which is concrete thought. So seeing Mount Rushmore or the Grand Canyon or Yosemite would have no effect on him. He just would not care. But he loves going back to places where he's been. He connects with them. He remembers the dates of where he went where. And he loves seeing people that he's seen before. So it had to be crafted that way. I mean, the only problem was it really did turn out to be the worst route ever taken in cross-country history.
You knew what you wanted to do, but how much did you know what Zach wanted to do?
Well, that's another great question, because I did know what I wanted to do. And, you know, I think Zach said, well, it's time to be with Dad, and it'll be interesting in the sense that we're going to be in the car. And, of course, he did confide to me at certain points he hated to drive, which made me feel somewhat guilty. He really wanted to fly. But, you know, to him it was a trip. I mean, he's been on trips before with his mom's family. We're divorced, you know, to Indiana and places like that. But he knew we were going to go back. He knew we were going to go to Los Angeles. He knew the route because we did it together. You know, what he didn't know was I had also made a vow to really probe. I wanted to know how much he knew about himself. I felt that was his right. And, you know, I'm his father. I'm not a detached observer. And as his father, I wanted to treat him as I treat my two children. I've had a lot of discussions, including with Jerry, who had a very mild learning disability. And I wanted to see how aware Zach was of himself and his environment.
Of course, the book comes very much as about the father-son relationship, but you can't delve into that without thinking of your own son-father relationship.
Well, that's right, and that's why it's in there. I mean, you know, we're all informed by our relationships with our parents, and we're particularly informed, you know, I think not particularly, but sons are informed by their relationships with their father, and fathers are informed by relationships with their sons. So it was impossible, you know, when you're on the road and it's late at night and Zach is asleep and you're thinking kind of these wonderful thoughts that crystallize. I thought about my father often, the wonderful times I had with him, the way we shaped me, the road trips we had taken, as well as some of the more painfully difficult times when he died very, very suddenly of leukemia. So the book, you know, fortunately you haven't asked that. You know, people say, well, what's the book about? And, you know, it's impossible to say. It's a book about my journey with Zach. It's my own personal journey as a father and son. It's also, you know, a great road trip, because there is romanticism in traveling across the country. It's coming to grips with a son who is different, and it's also a son, whatever his disability, coming to grips with a father who is not perfect, because parents are not perfect.
In a very different book for you to write, of course, was that a challenge at all to write about you?
Yeah, it's a tremendous challenge. It's just easier to sort of shed the flashlight and you know, the Klieg light on someone else, because you have a certain dispassion. It's much harder when it's on yourself, because I find, look, I'm not an expert in memoir, but I've read them. It's very easy to get a memoir purposely wrong. It's very easy to tweak here and tweak there, and you know, you think you're being honest, but you're really making yourself into a victim, and there's a lot of victimization, and I was shaped by this, and I was shaped like that, and the writer always comes out, you know, as a hero. I wanted to get this right. I was brutally honest, both about myself and both about my feelings about Zach. He was not the child I ever imagined, and he was not the child that I wanted. Didn't mean I didn't love him. I adored him, but it took me a long time. And it came up at certain times, you know, when I would hear peers talking about, well, Johnny's going to Harvard and Judy's going to Yale and, you know, X is doing this internship. And I said, well, my son will not do any of those things. And it was very hard, because my background was one where success was simply expected.
And you wrestle with what that term normal means.
I do wrestle with it, and I don't know what it means. I hate to use it. I guess we sort of use it because it's generic, and, you know, so having said I don't know what it means, another complication in this whole thing was, you know, they were twins. And Jerry, by some miracle, I mean, Jerry was all of 1 pound and 14 ounces, had no residual effects. And you want progress in your children. You want to see them advance. You want to see them become adults. We all live through our children, and Jerry is now a full-time teacher. He's got a great job. He's got a wonderful girlfriend. He owns his own home. He's going to get married. He certainly drives. He's going to have his own children. And, you know, Zach is not going to do these things. And as they were growing up, it was always like that. So you have two mirrors, and when they're twins, you think they're going to be the same. And, you know, one was basically unblemished, and one had, you know, tragic cracks that, you know, would never be filled.
What's the relationship between the two boys?
It was tough growing up. You know, I think Jerry was embarrassed by Zach. Zach's means of communications were limited. I think Zach, in his own way, he couldn't articulate it, but was jealous that Jerry had a lot of friends. And so, you know, Jerry and a friend would be watching TV, and Zach would turn the TV off or, you know, make squeaking sounds. And that was difficult for Jerry. And it was also difficult when we would say, Jerry, you have to be understanding of your brother. But, you know, when you say that to a six-year-old, it's almost not fair because, you know, Jerry's six. They've gotten much, much closer. They got very close when Jerry graduated from high school. Jerry is now very, very protective of his brother and loves his brother and also understands that, you know, when I'm gone and his mom gone, I mean, he is the inheritor. And that's a tremendous amount of responsibility for anyone in their 20s. But, you know, Jerry has told me that, you know, if it's the case, then Zach will come live with him. Yeah. And I admire him tremendously for that.
When you were on the trip, you talk about how, you know, you were supposed to be the calm one, Zach was to be the anxious one, and actually, Zach turned out to be a very calming force.
Well, Zach, and that's one of the things I learned. He was an incredibly calming force. Look, I had no idea, and this is not said for the sake of an author, whatever, I had no idea that Zach had the kind of empathy that he had, and, you know, I get frustrated easily, and I got lost a lot, and Zach is a human GPS. And I mean, for God's sakes, I got lost in a Holiday Inn Express parking lot. I mean, that's hard to do. But time and time again, I mean, Zach would calm me down and either get me out of a jam, you know, in a parking lot, or something as beautiful and simple as just rubbing my back with his fingertips and, you know, saying, Dad, it'll be all right. And that was a dimension to him that I had just never seen before. And it was very, very soothing. So I guess maybe it was a role reversal, but it also raises the interesting question of, you know, what really is a disability? You know, who has it? Did Zach really have it, or emotional disability, or do I have it?
You have the trip, and then you take some time, and you write the book, and now it's out. And through that, I assume there are various stages of the relationship.
There are various stages of the relationship. Look, I'd love to tell you that this trip changed me as a person. I'm less volatile. I'm less success oriented. I'm not prone to depression, which I am prone. That I've gotten rid of the four medications I take, and that would be, you know, a wonderful end of the story, and all of that would be a lie. I don't think the trip changed me, but maybe perhaps in a more powerful way, it changed my relationship with Zach. We are much, much closer. And what I've seen in those intervening years, and I never thought this as well, Zach is maturing. His conversational abilities are better. His level of comprehension is the same. It's about 8 to 10. But I learned a lot about character, and character is not money. It's not the house you own. It's not how big a job you have. To me, it's taking every ounce you have within you and making the most of it and building a beautiful life for yourself. My son has done that.
The name of the book is Father's Day, A Journey into the Mind and Heart of My Extraordinary Son. The book is published by HMH. Buzz Bissinger, it's a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate
it.
Thank you. Again, the name of the book, Father's Day, A Journey into the Mind and Heart of My Extraordinary Son by Buzz Bissinger. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.